Last Lord's Day morning, we looked at a lesson titled, The Church of Christ. What is it? We noted from the scriptures that the Bible clearly indicates that the church is those who are saved from sin, those who are redeemed, liberated, set free from their sin by the blood of Christ, those who are sanctified, separated, set apart, and consecrated to the service of God in Christ Jesus, those who are reconciled, that is, come on friendly terms with God again in one body, the church, and those who are enrolled in heaven, that is, they're citizens of the kingdom of God because their names have been recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Today, we want to consider the church as it has been purposed by God and promised by God in His Word. In Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "And I also say to you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Though Jesus would be crucified and put to death, the gates of Hades, that is, the unseen world of the dead, would not be able to retain His spirit. His spirit would come forth from the Hadean realm, reunite with His body. He would be raised from the dead. The gates of hell, that is, death itself, would not prevent Him from building or bringing the church into existence. The church was not a figment of the imaginations of men. The church had been purposed and planned by God from the very beginning. In Acts 2 and in verse 23, on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, "Him, that is Jesus Christ, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death." Jesus Christ was delivered up to crucifixion by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. The determined purpose is according to the will of God, according to the plan of God. He had it in His mind from the very beginning that He was going to deliver Jesus Christ up to be crucified for the sins of mankind. It was His purpose and His plan from the very beginning. We see this mentioned throughout the scriptures, that the church came into existence according to the eternal purpose, according to the eternal counsel, according to the eternal will of God Himself. Many people believe that the church was simply an accident, an afterthought on God's part, simply because of a result of the Jews rejecting Christ as their king. Some say that since the Jews rejected Christ as king, then God, in the afterthought, just established the church in the place of the kingdom of God. But the church is not a substitute for the kingdom. The church and the kingdom are the same. The church was in the mind of God from the very beginning. It was always God's plan to bring together in the church, in one body, all things in Christ Jesus. The scriptures are clear about that. In Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 3, a lengthy reading, but I want you to note the purpose and the will and the counsel of God, and we'll see those words, the will of God, the purpose of God, the determination of God, the dispensation of God, all of those words, different words in the Greek, some of them, but they all speak of God's plan, His eternal plan to save all men in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, note this, in Christ. Just as He chose us or elected us in Him from the foundation of the world. Now how could He do that if it had not been in His plan, if He had not willed it or purposed it to begin with? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself. He predestined us. It was a plan that was made ahead of time, according to the good pleasure, note this, of His will, of His counsel, of His purpose, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of, note this, of his will. He made known to us, Paul said, he made known to the apostles his will, the mystery of his will, the mystery of his plan, the mystery of his counsel that he had at the very beginning of time as we know it, according to the good pleasure which he purposed or planned in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, that in the dispensation, that in God's plan, that in God's arrangement, that in God's purpose of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. I highlighted the word mystery in this text because, note, having made known to us the mystery. Yes, the idea that God was going to save all men in Christ Jesus from the foundation of the world was at one time a mystery, but it has been made known, it has been revealed, it has been disclosed now. But at one time it was a mystery. At one time it was not revealed by God. But Paul says it has now been revealed. It's no longer a mystery. But at one time it was hidden, not disclosed by God, but now his will and plan to save all men in Christ Jesus has been revealed. In him, that is in Christ also, verse 11, Ephesians 1, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him, according to the plan or will of God, who works all things according, note this, to the counsel of his will. Do we not see these words in this context? Will, purpose, counsel, determination, dispensation, predestined, foreknowledge. That we who first trusted in Christ, that we Jews who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. In him you Gentiles also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The word "thee" is not before the word Holy Spirit there. Literally, they were sealed with a promise. Who, verse 14, the pronoun should be "which" because it points back to the promise. King James Version translated it correctly. American Standard Version translated it correctly. Young's Liberal Translation translated it correctly. Which? That is the promise. The promise that came through the Holy Spirit. What was that promise? That God was going to save all men in Christ Jesus. Which is the guarantee. That promise is the guarantee. The earnest, the King James Version says, of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. It was always God's plan to bring together all men in harmony with God in Christ Jesus. This plan of God to save all men in Christ or in his body, the church, was kept secret by God. In times past, but in the first century, it was made known to his saints. In Colossians 1 and in verse 18 and following, in our reading this morning, and he, that is Christ, is head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and enemies, speaking of the Gentiles, they were alienated, they were foreigners, they were strangers, they were separated from God, and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he is reconciled. Where? In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. They've been reconciled in the church. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature, Jew and Gentile, under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. The mystery. What was that mystery? What was that secret that had been hidden from generations, but now was revealed? That God, from the very beginning, planned to save man in Christ Jesus. Amen. Regardless of whether they be Jew or whether they be Gentile. That was the mystery. The unveiling or uncovering or making known of this mystery is spoken of throughout the New Testament. In Romans 16 in verse 25 and following, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation, uncovering, disclosing of the mystery kept secret since the world began. 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 7, Paul said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, for our glorification. 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 1. Let a man so consider us, and the us under consideration was Paul and Apollos and Cephas in the immediate context. So let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Ephesians 3 and in verse 3 and following. How that by revelation, by disclosing, by making known, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. That the Gentiles should, note this, be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. What's the mystery? That all men, both Jew and Gentile, will be saved in one body, will be saved in the church. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, note this, by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Over and over again we see the mystery spoken of throughout the New Testament.
Amen.
God's purpose, God's plan, God's will to save all men in Christ Jesus was one time hidden in God, but now he is revealed. Ephesians 5 and in verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Ephesians 6 and in verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Colossians 1 and verse 26 and following. The mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or spiritually complete, where? In Christ Jesus. In Colossians 2 and in verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. And then in Colossians 4 and verse 3, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. That's what we're doing this morning. We're speaking the mystery of Christ. We're speaking about that mystery, that is, that plan that God kept in His mind, undisclosed through the ages, but in the first century He revealed it. We partook of the Lord's Supper this morning in recognition of Christ's death on the cross for our sins. That was God's plan to begin with. Though the Jews took Him and by lawless hands crucified Him, put Him to death, that was God's plan from the beginning, that we might be saved through His sacrifice on the cross. In Daniel, we have a little preview into this mystery. As a matter of fact, the word translated mystery that we just saw in the New Testament passages that we read is found in the book of Daniel in the Septuagint version. Same Greek word, mystery. In Daniel chapter 2, from which we're going to read, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has had a dream. And he's dreamed of a great image, and that image consisted of different parts. And those different parts represented four different kingdoms: the Babylonian kingdom, Medo-Persian kingdom, the Grecian kingdom, and the Roman kingdom. Well, when Nebuchadnezzar had that dream, he wanted to know the interpretation of that dream. He wanted to know what it meant. But he knew if he told his wise men, his astrologers and magicians, they would just make up a lie. So he said, "First tell me what I dreamed, and then tell me the interpretation of it." Well, none of the wise men of Babylon could do that. What king would ask that, they say? He's asking for something impossible. "We don't know what you dreamed. Tell us what you dreamed and then we'll tell you the interpretation." Nebuchadnezzar knew they would just tell him a lie. "Tell me the dream, then tell me the interpretation. If you can't do that, you'll be cut to pieces and your houses will become an ash heap." Well, no one could tell him. So Nebuchadnezzar sent out a decree to have all the wise men of Babylon killed. Daniel and his three companions would be among those. So Daniel and his three companions pray to God that the dream might be revealed to them and the interpretation of it. And so in Daniel 2 and in verse 18, that they might seek mercies, that is, they under consideration as Daniel and his companion, from the God of heaven concerning this secret. There's the word mystery. Same Greek word in the Septuagint version, Greek translation of Old Testament scriptures, translated mystery in the New Testament. Concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So Nebuchadnezzar has this secret, he has this mystery. But it hadn't been revealed, it hadn't been disclosed. But who can reveal this mystery? Who can disclose this mystery? God can. And so what God does in revealing this mystery is He gives us a little insight into His plan to save men in the church. In Daniel 2 and in verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals, makes known, discloses secrets. And He has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be," note this, "in the latter or last days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these: as for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this, and He who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I am of more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes, who has made known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart." In verse 44 of chapter 2, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all of these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. In the days of these kings, referred to the days of the Roman kings. Remember, this was a secret. This was a mystery. But this mystery was actually revealed to Daniel and made known to Nebuchadnezzar. That in the last days, when did the church come into existence? Acts chapter 2. In the last days. The church came into existence in the last days. So Daniel is giving us a little preview into this mystery that God had in his mind from the very beginning to save all men in the church, in the body of Christ, in Christ. So there we have the church purposed by God from the very beginning. Actually revealed many, many years before it was disclosed and made known in the first century. The king answered Daniel in Daniel 2 and verse 47 and said, "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret or this mystery." Indeed, God revealed and made known his mystery to save all men in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now let's look at God's promise to bring about salvation in Christ, that is, in Christ's body, the church. This promise was made to Abraham in the beginning. Genesis 12 and verse 1 and following, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All the families of the earth shall be blessed. So this is the promise to bless all men in Christ. First made to Abram here. Later on, God would say to Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 17, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Jew and Gentile, all the people of the world are going to be blessed in him, that is, in his seed. In Genesis 22 and in verse 18, after he had offered his only son Isaac upon the altar, God said to him, "In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Not only would God make this promise to Abraham, but he would make it to his son Isaac as well. Genesis 26 and in verse 4, "In your seed, Isaac, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." And God reiterated that promise to the son of Isaac, to Jacob, in Genesis 28 and verse 14, "In you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So here's the promise of God to bless all mankind in the seed of Abraham. That was God's promise. Well, did God keep that promise to bless all men in the seed of Abraham? Indeed, he fulfilled that promise. To all men, both Jew and Gentile. In Acts 3 and in verse 24, the Apostle Peter said, "Yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold," note this, "these days." What days? The latter days we read about in Daniel chapter 2. The last days we read about in Acts 2. "You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham," know this, "and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you first," to you Jews first, "God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities." I want you to note that. That tells us about the blessing that was promised to Abraham. "In you," or "in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." Get this, the quote, "and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed," Acts 3, 25. Verse 26, "To you Jews first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you." What is the blessing? It's a spiritual blessing in turning away every one of you from your sins, from your iniquities. we're saved from our sins in Christ Jesus. That was the blessing that God had made to Abraham. In you and in your seed, all nations of the earth would be blessed. That blessing came to the Jews first. In Acts 13 and verse 32, Paul said, "And we declare to you glad tidings, that promise which was made to the fathers. God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that He raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, 'You're my son, today I have begotten you.'" That promise was fulfilled. Galatians 3 and in verse 7, Paul said, "Therefore know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify, save the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand." Preach the gospel? That is, he declared the good news to Abraham. That's what the word gospel means. What good news did he declare to Abraham? "In you all the nations shall be blessed." So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Those who are of faith, those who seek justification by an obedience of faith, they're children of Abraham. Galatians 3 and in verse 13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" That the blessing of Abraham, what is the blessing of Abraham? The forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. That's the blessing of Abraham. "That the blessing of Abraham might come upon," know this, "the Gentiles," where? In Christ Jesus. "That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." You see that, the promise of the Spirit? Earlier we saw in Colossians that was the Holy Spirit of promise. But here it's the promise of the Spirit. Both phrases are exactly the same. It's the promise that came through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The promise that in Christ all nations of the earth shall be blessed in the seed of Abraham. "That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, 'And to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ.'" So when God said, "In your seed all the nations of the earth should be blessed," we have a divine interpretation of that here, don't we? Though we might understand the word seed to refer to his offspring, which is reasonable that we could conclude that, because seed can be used in such a way. His offspring would be all of his offspring, even the nation of Israel itself. But God had in mind just one seed of that seed. He had in mind Christ. Christ only. In your seed. Jesus Christ was the seed or a descendant of Abraham. And in Christ, in that seed, all nations of the earth are blessed. "And this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ," that is, in connection with Christ, "that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance of eternal salvation is of the law," that is, if it comes by keeping the works of the law of Moses, "it is no longer a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." The promise to be blessed, to have one's sins forgiven, is in Christ Jesus. And everyone who is in Christ Jesus and has received the forgiveness of sins is part of that purpose of God from the beginning, to save all men in Christ Jesus. Amen. Part of the promise that God made to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and of people of all time, that they can be blessed in Christ Jesus with the forgiveness of sins. And so Paul wraps his argument up in Galatians 3 and in verse 26, "For you're all sons or children of God through faith." Where? In Christ Jesus. Because it was God's purpose from the very beginning. It was God's plan from the beginning. It was His will from the beginning to save all in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You might ask this morning, how do I get into Christ? You're told to be baptized into Christ. That's how you get into Christ. You get into a relationship and in union with Christ Jesus in baptism. When you get in Christ, you're saved in Christ. You're saved in the church. Acts 2:47. The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Are there children of God outside the church? All children of God are in Christ Jesus. You know that I like the English Standard Version. For in Christ Jesus, you're all sons of God. Through faith. That is, through an obedient faith. In Christ Jesus, you're a child of God. Is there a child of God outside of Christ Jesus? No. Those who are in Christ are those who are saved. Those who are in Christ and saved are those who've been redeemed, liberated, and set free from their sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. They've been sanctified, set apart, and consecrated to the service of God in Christ Jesus. They've been reconciled to God, brought together again with God on friendly terms, and their names are recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't you want to be among those? Don't think that the church is some afterthought of God. The church was in the very mind of God from the beginning. To save you in Christ Jesus was His plan from the beginning. Are you in Christ Jesus? If not, confess your faith in Him this morning, repent of your sins, and be baptized into Him for the remission of sins. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, we encourage you to repent of that sin, confess that sin. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.